This is the Instructional Leadership Show. Specifically, this is episode 60 of the Instructional Leadership Show. And this is part one of what we are calling the Continuity Project. We will have an ongoing series under the title of the Continuity Project here on the Instructional Leadership Show for a couple of reasons. And I thought I would just get into those reasons right off of the bat. First of all, typically what we do on the Instructional Leadership Show is we work our way through the roadmap for high performance instructional leadership. And if you have seen that before, you know it's all about getting into classrooms, having feedback conversations with teachers, and going through the teacher observation and evaluation process, and so on. And this is a time when I think we just need to do something special. We need to recognize the extraordinary season that we're in. If we're going to adapt effectively and take advantage of the opportunities that we have in front of us as instructional leaders. So that is why we are moving forward with the Continuity Project. And I'm very excited about this, to get this out into the world and to start working with you in this capacity. Again, this will be an ongoing series, an ongoing approach to support you in what it's going to take to be an instructional leader in the next couple of months. So right off the bat, I wanted to start with an essential question, and then we'll get into some details about what the Continuity Project is. By the way, if you're joining us live, go ahead and say hi in the comments here on social media. Our essential question for today is, what kind of leadership will it take to address the practical, cultural, and relational challenges that our schools will face in reopening? I'm going to say that again. What kind of leadership will it take to address the practical, cultural, and relational challenges we'll face in reopening? And you know, here's the thing, right? We know there are going to be lots and lots of details about sanitizing and spacing desks and alternate schedules and bus transportation and lunches. And you know, there are so many logistics. There are so many constantly evolving guidelines that we are going to have a lot to keep up with just on the management and logistics side. And we've come to expect that now, right? We know that that is going to be the situation. Welcome to Nisha. Thank you very much for tuning in. And hey, Heather, great to see you today. I've been planning some of this with Heather, and always great to see you on live, Heather. So we've been thinking through some of these challenges around what instructional leadership looks like when it seems like everything is those logistics. Everything is those, how do we space out the desks? How do we put the tape on the floor? How do we sanitize this and sanitize that? And you know, that is going to be a lot of our world for the foreseeable future, but it can't be everything. And here's what I think we need to make sure that we are considering as well. We're going to get into three specific kinds of challenges, and then we'll come back to why we're taking this particular approach. So on a practical level, how will we get the work done? How will we get the normal day-to-day work of teaching and learning and supporting teaching and learning done as leaders, as educators, as classroom teachers? How can we continue and sustain that work when everything is weird? Right? When everything has to be done in a socially distanced way, when we can't be in the same room, or at least can't be around the same table together, when we're all wearing masks and we can't read each other's facial expressions in the same way, when we can't have committee meetings, how do we continue the work of the school, the collaborative work, the decision-making work, the PLCs, the planning? How do we do all that in practical terms? We're going to tackle that one head on in the Continuity Project. Second, on a cultural level, what is it that can continue to unite us as a staff? Or what new things will we need to do to unite our staff as a cohesive group when we can't meet in person? Or again, when the way we meet in person is so modified that it's almost unrecognizable. And then finally, on a relational level, between staff members and between staff members and students, how can we maintain strong relationships, those professional working relationships that are so critical to being effective in what we do when we're physically separated? Again, either because we're doing virtual school, maybe you've heard that you're not starting the school year in person, or maybe you hope to, but it's going to kind of depend, or maybe there will be these kind of extreme social distancing measures within your school. It's going to be unusual, but it's going to be critical that we have these three concerns in mind. How can we get the work done? How can we maintain our staff culture, and how can we maintain our professional relationships. So let's get into those just briefly. We'll go into each of these one by one. First, on a practical level, how can we get work done? How can we make decisions? How can we accomplish tasks that require multiple people to coordinate? How can we have discussions? How can we have PLCs and staff meetings and all those things that we just take for granted when we can see each other in person? Second, on the cultural front, what unites us, as we said, when we can't meet in person? And how do we create the sense that we are really a we, right? That we're an actual entity as a school, especially if we haven't seen each other in months, if we haven't been able to come to the building and have a meeting and see each other face to face? How do we create that sense of cohesiveness and live out our mission and vision and values together, even if we're not in the same room? And I think closely related to that is the third set of questions here. How do we stay connected when we have to avoid those common gathering spots that usually create those informal, low stakes opportunities to interact at the water cooler? I don't know if you guys have a water cooler. I think we had a water cooler, but it was in the staff lounge. So you've got your staff lounge, you've got the mail room, you've got the photocopier, you've got the teacher's lounge where people eat lunch, you've got the front office where everybody congregates by the receptionist's desk, whether she likes it or not. All those places where people tend to kind of bunch up and bottleneck, and they're signing in, they're signing out, they're making copies, they're checking their mail. Those interactions that occur there often are the primary way that people interact in a low stakes, non-task oriented context. That's, it's how the kindergarten teachers know the fifth grade teachers. It's how the chemistry or the science department knows the PE teachers and the coaches. Everybody comes together in those common spaces, and we've got to really think about that because it's going to be different when we come back together. And these changes are not mere logistics. Here's where this becomes a real leadership issue. These changes that we're talking about are more than simply procedural changes, right? We're not just talking about, well, you used to do it this way and now you do it that way. We used to just come in to the office however we wanted. Now we've got to make sure we have masks on and 6 feet and so on. It's more than that. And I think the best framework for understanding the nature of these changes is to use Ron Heifetz's language around technical and adaptive change. I'm going to guess that almost all of what you have received communication about so far and what you've been asked to pass on to your staff and a lot of the decisions that you've been asked to make for your school in alignment with guidelines passed on from your local government have been technical changes. Almost everything that we have talked about so far has been a technical change. This is how far apart the desks have to be. This is the schedule. We're gonna have A day students and B day students, or we're gonna have bus route one and bus route two. I don't know. I mean, it is an overwhelming amount of technical change, and it's going to continue to change very quickly as the situation changes and as the guidelines evolve. And we can roll with that, right? We are no strangers to adapting to technical change. It's what we're already good at as educators. We've been rebuilding the airplane as we fly it for decades now. But there's a second kind of change that Ron Heifetz identifies in his research on how people respond to challenges and how organizations make the changes that they need to. And he calls that adaptive change. And the thing about adaptive change is we don't know in advance how to do it. We don't already have the know-how sitting there on the shelf ready to pick up and apply. The binder is not written. You can't just open a binder and say, oh yeah, we know how to do this. We have a playbook for this. We've done this before. We do it every year. We've been trained on it. I went to school for this. No, we don't have any of that. We are making this up as we go. And that, my friends, is why your role as a leader is so critical. Because what we're doing right now in preparing to reopen schools is we are engaged in a process of adaptive change. And the thing about adaptive change is that it changes not just what we do, but it changes who we are. It affects our identity individually and collectively as a staff and as an organization. And you've probably felt the pain of that change already. You've probably heard the pain of that change from teachers who had to finish out the school year and are continuing to have to finish out the school year not seeing their students in person. And depending on the personality, that can be a very painful change for a lot of people, right? People say, I miss my kids. I don't know how to be their teacher when I can't be there with them. I don't know how to motivate my students when I'm not physically in the room with them. And there are some technical aspects to those changes, but we should not underestimate the scale of the change to our identity and the change to who we are that this requires. So as an instructional leader, I want to equip you to prepare your staff for those changes. You have got to be the kind of instructional leader who can help people with not just those technical changes as you've been asked to do already and as you will continue to be asked to do, but a leader who can guide people through those adaptive changes to both our individual and our collective identity. And I've come up with two things. Heather and I were talking about this earlier today. I've come up with two primary things that we need to provide as instructional leaders. And this is going to be a lot of what we do in the Continuity Project over the next couple of months. We need to provide, first, metaphors for understanding the situation we are in. Right? This is an uncertain and scary time. I don't even like to use that word uncertain anymore because I feel like I've heard it 10,000 times this year. But there's a lot of confusion. We don't know what's going to happen. Things are going to continue to change. And when people don't really understand the situation that they're in, it's incredibly helpful to have metaphors to the familiar, to kind of bridge what we're seeing now and having trouble understanding to something familiar that we do understand, right? For example, a metaphor that came to me yesterday. I was talking with someone in town here who just did not like the idea of wearing masks or being expected to wear a mask in stores and things like that. And I came up with a metaphor that it's not like, you know, wear a seatbelt if that makes you feel safer. And this person was wondering, why do other people care if I wear a mask? You know, if you're afraid, you can wear a mask, but I'm not afraid, so I'm not gonna wear a mask. And I said, as a metaphor, it's not like wearing your seatbelt if you're afraid you're gonna die in a car accident. It's much more like stopping at a stop sign, because stop signs only work if we all obey them, right? If we all follow the norm and the custom that we have to stop at stop signs so that nobody gets hurt. And I think masks work the same way. And I hope that was a helpful metaphor for understanding that concept for keeping people safe. So there are lots and lots of opportunities that we're going to have in the coming months to use metaphor to help people make sense of what's going on, because it is confusing, it is scary. And for a lot of our staff members, there are going to be big feelings around the safety aspects of coming back. We probably have a fair number of older staff members who maybe have some health complications that may make this difficult to get through emotionally and psychologically. There's just a lot of steadiness that's going to need to come from us as leaders. And I think one of the best ways that we can do that and provide an anchor for people is to bridge from the familiar to the current uncertain and new and strange with metaphor. So we will talk much more about that. Second, we need to install and implement new rituals. And ritual is kind of a strange word to use in education. We associate it more with religion or maybe with your personal habits. Maybe you have a ritual for locking the door at night or for washing your hands or whatever. But a lot of rituals that we are going to need to use in schools when we reopen are going to be unfamiliar, right? We're not used to all of the kind of safety things that are going to be necessary with students. We've just not had to worry about them up to this point. And that is going to require that we get comfortable with new routines and procedures, and that we get comfortable teaching and reinforcing those with students so that it's not just policing, like get your mask on, wash your, you know, we could very easily find ourselves burdened and overwhelmed with just the enforcement of all of the procedures and expectations that are going to be in place. And rather than see that, so I guess this is kind of a metaphor in and of itself, rather than see that as just an enforcement or policing kind of approach, I wanna encourage us to see it as an opportunity to install and develop new rituals as organizations and as we reopen and welcome our students back. So I wanna invite you to sign up for the Continuity Project. I'm gonna put a link in the comments here, principalcenter.com/continuity. See if I can spell it while typing. Let me know if that works, if somebody wouldn't mind clicking that. And let me know if I typed that right. The Continuity Project is where we are going to be keeping track of and following along through all of these different changes that we are talking about, both the technical and the adaptive changes. And I thought what we would do is do as much modeling and kind of eating our own dog food as possible throughout this project, because you're probably in a situation right now where you work with staff that you're not able to see face-to-face. In some cases, you have to hire those staff without meeting face-to-face. You have to do training and onboarding and team meetings and welcoming and inducting people without the usual face-to-face opportunities. So what we're going to do here is we're going to walk through this entire process virtually, and I'm going to be continuing to go live here with the Instructional Leadership Show, but we're also creating a free resource where you can have all of this in one place. So if you, Charity, thank you so much for testing that link out for me. So if you go to principalcenter.com/continuity, and I will put this back up on screen here, principalcenter.com/continuity. You can sign up, and what I'm going to do as soon as we are done here is I'm going to upload this very session, this episode of the Instructional Leadership Show, and you can find it there. You can comment on it. You can annotate it. You can jump to a certain timestamp. You can upload links and documents, and we can discuss those links and documents. If you're in the habit of collaboratively editing files in Google Docs as part of your, maybe you're making staff handbook revisions, you can add things there, and this can kind of integrate with the different online tools and processes that you're using already. But I wanted to show you how this works, and I wanted to show you why we're doing this in SIBMe. So I'm not going to actually log in right now, but I'll give you a login. If you go to principalcenter.com/continuity, you can get signed up there. And what we're gonna do there is use a couple of different features that are built in. We have artifacts, so I will upload this show as an artifact, and then you're welcome to discuss that. Here in the discussions tab, we have a forum where you can post links and ask questions and reply in detail. It's a very well organized discussion forum there. And then we can also host live meetings, and we can do that a couple of ways. Now, sometimes I will broadcast these here on social media. Sometimes we will have Zoom meetings, and we can actually schedule the Zoom meetings securely within SIBMe here. And we can actually go live directly within the app without using any other social media platform or Zoom webinar or anything. We can just go live directly in the SIBMe app because it is a video collaboration app. So I'm going to be walking you through how to do all of that, and we'll put that all in one place so that the Continuity Project is easy for you to access, easy for you to keep up with, and easy for you to zoom in to focus on just the parts that are relevant to what you are thinking about. Now, we will do some big picture stuff as we're talking about technical and adaptive change, as we're talking about rituals and metaphors for leading your staff through this process, but all of it's going to be in one place, and you can get on kind of the early bird. There's not much there yet. I say early bird because we're just getting started officially today, but you can do that at principalcenter.com/continuity, and I will see you there. If you do sign up, you'll get an email from me. Just reply to that and let me know a little bit about your situation. I would love to hear from you, because this is going to be a very interactive and iterative process of figuring out exactly what challenges people are facing, and then working through those together. But I think we have some big opportunities for a profession, as a profession, to really go through this together, not just in isolation, not just you figure it out for your school and I'll figure it out for my school, but we really have the opportunity for shared learning as instructional leaders, as members of a profession. And I think there's never been a time when leadership has mattered more, because everything is going to be different. Schools reopen. We know this is happening. We may not know when, we may not know what it's going to look like, but we know our leadership is going to make or break whatever happens next. And I think we might as well work through that together. So again, you can sign up at principalcenter.com/continuity and follow along. That's where we will have everything for this this little project. Again, everything's free. You'll find it here. You can get signed right in, and we'll provide those resources for you. A couple of things that I also wanted to mention that we've got going on right now. In terms of curriculum and instruction, in terms of the learning that you are planning for your students, I want to encourage you to think strongly, think long and hard about project-based learning, because it's highly likely that in the coming year, there will be some disruptions. Now, maybe those will be for everyone in your school. Maybe the entire school will have to close for a couple of weeks if we have some disruptions. Or it may just be that individuals are staying home from school. Maybe certain teachers are staying home from school for a while, or students, or maybe a class. Maybe there will be something that's specific to a class, and that group of students has to work from home for a while. Last week on Dr. Amy Bader's webinar, Designing Meaningful Remote Learning, she walked through how that can work with PBL, so that even if students are not able to be at school, even if the teacher's not able to be at school, the learning can continue because it's been designed with remote instruction in mind. And then if we're able to be together in person, then it gets even easier. But it doesn't really work the other way around to just assume that everything's going to be normal and we're going to be there in person, and then we suddenly have to adapt to remote instruction. That of course does not work nearly as well. So that was a great webinar. We had over 1,000 people sign up for it. And if you'd like access to the recording, that is now part of our training library for members. And you can learn more about that at amybader.com/certification, which is also where you will learn about the PBL Curriculum Developer Certification Program. Amy has been talking with schools about this for the last week or so, and consulting and advising them on how to become PBL schools and have the resilience and have the infrastructure in place, starting with curriculum, starting with the actual units that teachers are teaching, so that no matter what happens, the learning can continue to meet those standards, those objectives that are in place for each grade level, for each course, for your students to master. And it's interesting, a lot of the people who get in touch with Amy about the Curriculum Developer Certification Program, it's not their first rodeo, right? They have had training, they've brought people in and done trainings for everybody, they've maybe sent people out to trainings, but the common denominator is that they still need curriculum. They still need to develop the units that they will actually teach. And this works best when teachers develop their own units, and it's a skill that they can develop and a skill that really is especially valuable right now. So she's got enrollment for the Curriculum Developer Certification going on right now. If you are becoming a PBL school, if you've been working on that for a while or thinking about that for a while, do check that out and feel free to reach out to her, and she'd be happy to chat with you about whether that's a good fit and how that might look. You can go to amybader.com/certification for more information on that. And of course, don't forget to sign up for updates on the Continuity Project. Again, you can do that at principalcenter.com/continuity, and I will see you there. Thanks so much for being here, and I will catch you next time on the Instructional Leadership Show. This has been episode 60, part one of the Continuity Project. Thanks so much, and take care. Bye-bye.